Hello, welcome back to the next episode of the Radio Anesthes podcast. I'm Richard, as per usual, joined with my co-host.
Some party, yeah.
Quarantine.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You don't see anything.
I mean, that's the opposite of a party.
It's not to me.
It's just good. Regular life for me.
Yeah. Loneliness.
Still in lockdown in the UK. The funny thing is, right, we're so far in advance with our recordings. At the minute, we're recording like two episodes every week.
Can you imagine people like listen to this like when it's out and they're like, oh my God, is Britain still in?
That's what I'm getting at. It's like it's 2022. These guys do realise the lockdown was lifted ages ago, right? Like, oh fuck, we can go outside again. I don't like the looks of those teenagers.
Oh, everyone just comes to see us and we come out and we're like decrepit old, like albino mutated.
We look like fucking Ash at the end of the alternative end of Army of Darkness.
Yeah, but we can't see in the light anymore because we've just evolved
become the fucking things in the Descent.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we've become troglodytes. That's what we've become.
We've reviewed every horror film known to man.
Help us.
We've even had to start making our own films and reviewing them. Zombie 7 was fucking shit.
The only reason that we come out of quarantine is that someone comments and we're like, how are people still listening when the world is quarantined? And it's like, oh my God. We've been in here for 24 years. I'm so frail.
Right. This week, we are looking at a film from 2012, a UK black comedy called Sightseers.
Yes.
I think I'd be reluctant to call it a horror film.
Yeah, it's borderline.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot that horror fans will like.
Yeah.
In this.
Especially from the psychological sense, because even though this is a very, very, very funny film, it's incredibly deep. It's not like comedy for the sake of comedy. It's a weird little film.
Very weird.
Strange little film. Do you remember the first time we watched this?
Yes, I was just going to bring it up because very coincidentally, obviously it's not going to be released anytime soon, but as we're recording this, it's like Easter's just finished.
Right.
And the first time we watched it was at Easter.
Oh dear.
Because I specifically remember you saying that your mum picked this up for you as an Easter present because you were too old for chocolate.
Fucking hell. There we go.
Purely coincidental.
Genuinely is though, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
People go, oh yeah, yeah. Look at them planning stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Weird little. I remember the first time we watched this, and me and you were like gobsmacked at this film.
Yes.
What the fuck? Like, we were pissing ourselves.
And then oh, the it's second fuck.
We were like, what the fuck is going on?
Rewatch. I remember it being funny, right? But rewatching it, like, it's lame. So funny. It's I'd forgotten how good it was. Because this is the third time I've watched it, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, the first time was with you, and then I watched it a good couple of years ago with Rachel and a couple of friends, and they all fucking hated it, and they were like, what do you see in this? And the funny thing is, right, I was watching it the other day for this, and I was watching it in the other room, and then Rachel could just, like, hear me laughing at bits, and she was like, what are you fucking laughing at? I was like, this fucking film, it's hilarious. And then... she started catching the odd joke, and then she came in and she was like, oh, is it near the end? And I was like, yeah, there's like 10 minutes left. And she was like, oh, can we rewatch it again at some point? I was like, you fucking hated it the last time. In her defense, I think she was drunk.
Me and Charlotte rewatched it this time.
Yeah.
I think I watched it once with you. I watched it once with Cole, I think. And then I watched it with Charlotte for the rewatch. Charlotte was like fascinated. She was like she was like stuck to the screen. She was like, this is so weird.
I think that's what we were like the first time.
Yeah. And then, like, some of the things that they say, which we'll get into, she was just like, every time they said something else, like, her mouth dropped.
Like 80% of my notes are just quotes.
Yeah, exactly. Right, let's get into it, or else we'll just be gushing about this film. The rating's going to be terrible, this film. 1 out of 5. It's crap.
In fact, let's not even fucking do it. Let's just wrap up now. See you next week. Bye.
Yeah. Right, so it opens up with, you know, we get, like, photos of a dog, and it looks like it's like a map on a wall.
Yeah, and there's loads of like pin tacks in it of places that they're.
Someone's like pulling a thread across it, so it's obviously a trip.
Yeah,
and in the background, someone is wailing.
The first laugh, and we're like 5 seconds in the film.
Yeah,
but it's it's just wailing. It's just like but it's like it's fake wailing, if you know what I mean.
It's like someone putting on that
they're trying to get your attention. They're like, oh no, oh help.
So the woman in question is a frail old woman who's sitting in a horribly cluttered living room. She's got like dolls and fucking little statues, and it's like a typical old woman
that's,
you know, like lived on her own. Shouldn't have been allowed to have all these fucking. She's got about 55 little doll statues of dogs and shit in there.
Yeah,
she's obsessed with dogs, isn't she? This room, like, there's literally like hardly any place. It's really small as well, isn't it? This living room, like, really,
like, well, yeah, it's really cluttered. Which it does actually come back a bit later.
Exactly, the gags. But, like, you know, the room is, you know, you're shown that this room's very, 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 very close. Which does get fucking hell, man. This film, man. Oh, I'm thinking of that bit now, and I'm like, I'm starting to laugh again. Just thinking about it. Most of this film, when I watched it, I knew which bits were coming, so I started laughing before, and then But yeah, the woman, she's sitting there, and she's like, stone-faced. There's no pain in her at all, and she's just sitting there wailing, and one of her main characters comes out, Tina, and she's her daughter, and she kind of like comes in, and she's trying to ask if she's all right, and she's like, mum
like mum
and her mum's just like, she stops moaning, she stops wailing, and then just like completely ignores her. And then she finally looks at her as if she's only just heard her, and then Tina's like, you're right. And she basically, the mum talks about how she misses her dead dog Poppy, and she's like, oh, I've got nobody since my Poppy died, I've got no friends. And she's like, what? Her daughter's like, well, I'm your friend. She's like, no you're not, you're just a relative. It's your daughter.
I know, right?
Oh, fuck me. Oh, man. She says it with such, like, evil behind it as well. As if it's, like
you're offensive. Nothing to me.
It's like, I'll literally live with you. Oh, fucking hell. So it cuts a little bit. They're arguing about Tina going on a holiday, and the mum's basically like, you know, you shouldn't go. I don't like your boyfriend. I don't trust him. You know, he's just fucking around, or, you know, all the usual shit the mum says to make, you know, don't go. And she basically comes up to her and doesn't she throw the lead at her or something?
Yeah.
She comes up and Tina's like, I'm just going on holiday, mum. And she comes in and she's like, you're running away from your guilt. And like throws this dog lead at her. And then Tina's like, don't throw Poppy's lead like that, mum. Don't do that. Like, as if it's such a weird fucking exchange.
Yeah.
They're both mental. Like, you can tell from the onset that both of them are fucking mental. There's no qualms about it at all with Tina, is there? Like,
no, she's just, no, no.
She's mental. Like, she's been sheltered way too much, and she's gone she's got cabin fever or some shit.
Yeah, I think she's just one of these people that have been so sheltered her whole life that when she does finally get a chance to get out of the house and see other parts of the country, she doesn't really know how to sort of exist in the real world.
Yeah, she doesn't get being social at all. They have this little argument, this little exchange, and then it cuts straight to Tina's just, they're fine then, and Tina's brushing her mum's hair. Like, oh my God, like, what? This is the most toxic relationship I've ever seen in my life.
And then, like, Chris, the boyfriend, he's just, like, wandering around the house, and he goes into, like Tina's, not Tina, the mum's, like, art room, and it's full of like pictures of Poppy and other paintings, and they're pretty decent pictures, and he's just being really polite, like, oh, your mum's really talented artist.
You should sell these.
Oh my God. The mum's like, get out, well, you shouldn't be in here.
This is my sanctum. Oh, I don't want anyone in my sanctum. And it's like, it's a fucking little room with A4 pictures of paper, pieces of art stuck on the wall. You hag. So the Tina and Chris, they go and it's like they're teenagers, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. They're just like making out on Tina's bed.
Yeah, and Tina's like, oh, I've always wanted a boy on my bed. And you're like,
and it's like a kid's bed, isn't it? It's like a single fucking bed.
Strange.
Oh
man.
I don't trust adults that have a single bed.
Yeah.
It's like, you need a full-size bed by now. Like, even if you live alone, even if I lived alone, I'd buy a double bed.
Yeah, I'm not having a single bed, even if I'm living alone. What? I would get the whole bed to myself. I'm getting a fucking queen-size bed, mate. That's what I'm getting. So I've got all this room. Chris also mentions about school, doesn't he? And she's like, oh, how were you at school? And he was like, oh, I was nobody. I was invisible. And you're just like, oh my God, this is what I'm saying. This film,
but she, she comes out like, you weren't invisible, you're ginger. And he's like, yeah, that was a problem.
But that's what I'm saying though. Like, this film does that. It drops like loads of comedy in.
Yeah.
And then you get like a little snippet there where he's like, oh no, I was nobody, it's because I was invisible. And you're like, oh my God, sorry, mate. Jesus fucking hell, where'd you drop that in?
Yeah, as funny as this film is, there is substance to it.
Yeah, like, we were having a lovely time here, mate. Now you're going dropping stories about getting, I don't know, molested at school, whatever the fuck happened to you.
Well, even when they're on the bed, and then Chris is on about, like, oh, what were you like as a kid? And she was, like, unhappy.
Yeah.
And he, like, tries to, like, change the subject, and he's like, oh, I really like your bedroom. And then she's like, I don't. He's like, I've always hated this room. She's like, I like the things in it, but if they were all disappear, you know, it wouldn't bother me. It's like, you're supposed to be going on fucking holiday. Cheer up.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Although I will stand my ground right here and right now. Caravanning is not a holiday.
Yeah, it's, nah.
Ooh. Caravanning is a punishment.
You don't like caravans, do you?
No.
Can you hear the malice in his voice, listening? No. So the mum tells Tina that she doesn't think the holiday is safe. Obviously, you know, still trying to get her to stay there. And while they're outside, and I was looking at Charlotte at this point. I was like, you know, the next time we go to a cabin, you know what we need to do? We need to mark off our list on a board. They've got like a little fucking board with their list on it. It's like, have we got this? Tick.
Yeah, there's like a whole agenda and schedule to it, isn't there?
This is too much. You're in a caravan. You're not. Do you know what I mean? Even if you class it as a holiday, right? You're still in a caravan. What do you need this kind of paperwork for? Like, have you got licenses as well for going into a caravan? It's just ridiculous. He's even got like a little holder for it so it doesn't get wet.
I missed that.
Yeah. But while they're doing that, the mum's looking around in Tina's bedroom. She finds like...
Johnny's, doesn't she? Yeah. She just looks fucking disgusted.
Yeah, I know. She's like, I'm going to use these later.
Oh.
So they go to get out on the caravan and the mum runs out and she's like, you'll be back. And they're like, yeah.
In a week.
Yeah,
and like, fucking goes, Tina's got like potpourri with her. And she's like, I don't think I can cope without potpourri. I'm like, what?
As they're driving off, the mum looks in the window and she looks at Chris and she's like, I don't like you. And then Tina
looks Chris is trying to be polite, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then Tina goes, bye, mum. And she goes, murderer.
And then Tina goes, it was an accident, mum. And then she responds with, so were you.
Oh, my God. Fucking hell. Oh, God, it's incredible. So were you.
Imagine your own mum saying that to you.
Fucking hell. It's so good, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so quick. So they get mints because they have like a little running thing now, don't they? Where they go, mint me.
Yeah. Well, he comes out with like fucking extra strong mints, doesn't he?
Yeah. And he's like, it keeps the mind focused. Yeah. Also.
I was like, do they? It's like, I do enjoy a good mint, but I'm not, I really need to concentrate. Better get the mints out. Because there's a bit later in the film where he has to do something, and before he does it, he just downs like a pack of them. Like it's like a fucking, you know, like Dutch courage.
It fucking stacks on top, like it's a fucking RPG or something. He's got like 12 of them. So yeah. He's got like plus 450 focus. Oh my God. So.
Oh, another thing about the mints. Tina mentions, oh, Poppy loved mints, gave him the runs. But you shouldn't be feeding fucking dogs mints.
And I love how she's like, it gave her the runs. And it's like, so you thought it's still a good idea? Like she loves them. It's like, but then she shits everywhere. Yeah, but she doesn't.
It's like, I'm sure dogs love fucking chocolate, but it can fucking kill them.
Oh, man. Oh, fucking hell. This film, right. So they go to the train museum.
Yeah, they're on like a fucking tram, aren't they?
Not a train, sorry. It's a tram. They go to a tram museum. There's this.
Oh, there's something I wanted to mention. The guy that plays Chris... Some people might recognize him as the dad from the end of the fucking world.
Oh, and he was also the copper, the traffic copper in The World's End.
Oh, and that's another thing I want to bring up, because this is from the producers of Shaun of the Dead.
Yep.
Edgar and Wright, while... Oh, does he? Oh, fair enough. And while they're on the tram, there is a man eating a cornetto, and I'm not sure if I'm looking into it too much.
No, I said the same
thing. That's a reference.
I said the same thing. Charlotte, because Charlotte's obsessed with the Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah.
Even Charlotte said, oh, he's eating a cornetto. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, yeah. I'm sure that's a reference.
Yeah, so anyway, they're on this tram, and there's the fucking, the tour guide, I guessed.
Oh, yeah. The stereotypical.
Just giving off fucking boring facts about trams. And then the fat guy.
Who is in a lot of British stuff.
He's a very minor character in Game of Thrones as well. He's been...
Yeah, he was also a minor character in Edge of Tomorrow. Or Live, Die, Repeat, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And he's in a lot of Ricky Gervais' stuff as well.
I think he's in the Ali G movie too.
I think he was, yeah.
Yes, he's eating a cornetto, and he chucks the fucking wrapper on the floor, and Chris calls him out on it. But he calls him out politely. He doesn't go, oi, prick, like, pick up your fucking rubbish. He's like, oh, excuse me, mate, I think you've dropped your wrapper. And then the fat guy just, like, full-on fucking ignores him. He's like, sorry, you've just dropped your wrapper? And then he fucking, like, flips him off from behind. Like, he doesn't even look at him. He just... raises his middle finger to him. And like, this is the first sort of time that you sort of see that Chris isn't like right in the head, because he gets like irrationally angry about it.
Like, he ruins his Easter, doesn't he? Well, later on. Yeah,
because it cuts and they're in like a little cafe and he's like, I can't believe that fucking guy. I'm sick of people in this world. And he's like, they treat the world like a fucking toilet.
Yeah.
And then he's like, it's ruined the tram museum for me.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But that's something that comes up. He says quite a lot. Whenever something doesn't go his way, he's like, oh, you've ruined this or that for me.
Yeah, he's a proper psychopath, but
yeah.
he's a proper fucking manipulative bastard.
Yeah, and then there's like a little call-out.
You know what? before you keep going on, but there was one bit that I wanted to mention is that when he's having a go about the fat guy,
yeah,
Tina refers to him as a pig in clothes.
yes, of course she does. Yeah,
he was a pig in clothes, and I was like, that is a fucking cracking insult. That is, yeah. I'm going to use that. Now that is incredible.
So yeah, while Chris is having his rant, there's like a Tannoy announcement for Tina, and there's a call waiting from her mum. And so she goes out, and the great thing is, when Chris like goes out to check what's going on, you see the fat guy go past, and he litters again.
Yeah.
And then like Chris goes and like fucking picks it up, doesn't he?
Basically, the mum wants Tina home. Because she brings her up and she's like, well, I've got to come home if you're in a state like that. It's obviously the mum.
Yeah, it's obviously staged. Yeah, like, oh, this is happening.
But she comes out and she basically has to tell Chris. And Chris is like, well, you know, we're going to go to the pencil museum. You're going to love that. And then they get into the car. Obviously, they've got the fucking caravan on the back of it. Fucking litter pig in clothes guy comes past. Drops another bit of litter.
Yeah.
And then they reverse, like, I mean, it is an accident, but he reverses straight into him and, like, goes over him.
I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, my God, because I was really not expecting it to be that sort of film.
Grim.
And then, but, like, on the rewatches, you're like, well, this is nothing compared to later on in the film.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But he runs over him at an angle, and it, like, tire essentially slices his throat, I guess.
It's pretty fucking bloody.
Yeah, it's like spewing.
It's like fucking caught fucking pouring out. Just not what you'd expect in this sort of film.
And it's like, another thing about this film, I mean, I know we'll get into it in ratings, but another thing about this film is it's shot it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Cinematography in this film is like, it's almost too good.
They make England look like a beautiful country. It's not.
And then, you know, like the way it's filmed as well, like they have, you know, it happens a few times, I think, when death happens. But like this bit happens, that there's this whole moment where it kind of like, it kind of slows down, I guess. And, you know, it shows you the fat guy and it shows you, he drops like this little thing the thing that he unwrapped, I guess. And then it just like kind of pans up, focuses into Chris, and he just has this like slow motion, like little smirk.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the first time where you go, oh, he's fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's not right in the head. Like, he's getting off on this now. But the police let them off. It was an accident, obviously. Like, and this is the second time he says he's like, he's ruined the tram museum.
Yeah, because they're coming out of the fucking police station, and he's like, he's not quite in tears, but he's on the verge of like crying.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry for his family.
And it's like, he's ruined the tram museum for me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you've just killed a man. It's like, what an insensitive prick. Didn't think of me when he walked in front of my fucking caravan, did he?
Well, they drive off now and then, like, pretty much immediately start shagging.
Well, you know, there's a bit when they're in the car and obviously Chris is still fucking broken up. And then, like, she cheers him up by, like, going, mint me. And he's like, what? Like,
yeah,
you heard me. Mint me. And then, yeah, it cuts to them basically fucking shagging in the caravan.
But this will come up a bit as well. Like, this seems to happen a lot, in the sense of it always seems to happen after something happens as well.
Yes, yeah. It seems to get them in the mood, doesn't it?
Mojo. You know, like, it like boosts Chris up. Like, he kind of like gets like a... Because then he kind of goes back to being depressed until the next one.
Well, yeah, it's just very typical serial killer behaviour.
So they're in the caravan, they're having sex, and they've parked right next to this, like, lay-by cafe. And these guys just come over and watch them rocking this.
It's like a little trucker stop, isn't it? And then they all like, the fucking truckers and, like, workmen just crowd around the caravan.
Then Tina writes, we see her writing a postcard back to her mum, and she's basically saying, I'm not coming home. You're going to have to just deal with it, and we're going to have a good time. End of story. Yep. They arrive at this caravan site, and they're coming in, and there's like, I think there's two different bits, and one of them's like, I think one of them's called Dingley Dell. She's like, oh, I want Dingley Dell, like, that's, you know, the part of the caravan site. And they've got another caravan in front of them. Chris like cuts it up to get into the caravan site that he wants to. Is that the couple that he meets. Is that their caravan?
Don't know. I think, no, now you mention it, I think it might be, because I do recall the car that they overtake being like a Mercedes or something. And obviously the couple that they bump into are like clearly well off.
Yeah.
So yeah, it probably is, yeah. Because the fucking Mercedes basically falls in the ditch and then Chris is like, fuck you, I'm the best.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you just cut someone up in a caravan. What are you talking about?
It's fucking ridiculous.
But he gets out and he gets Tina to put this plug in.
This is genuinely one of my favourite parts of the film.
Yeah. And she's trying to... It's obviously that this plug to plug in the fucking energy for the caravan.
Yeah, and it's got like a little notch like at the bottom, so you know which way it goes in. And she's like, "This is the most ridiculous plug I've ever seen." And then like Chris is like trying to help her, and they're like, "Well, if you put it like this," she's like, "No, I want to do it."
Yeah,
it's like a fucking kid. You know when a kid's trying to do something, and you're just trying to give them guidance, and like, "No, I want to do it."
Yeah, that's what she's like though. She seems like she's got the mind of a child. But she walks over to the caravan. She sees there's blood on the tiles, and she's like, "Chris, it's a bit eerie, isn't it?" And it's like they have to wash the blood off, and then Chris is like looking at it. He's like, "Oh, it's a bit of a mess, this actually." And it's like you're wiping a dead man's blood off your tire that you ran over off your tire, and he's like, "It's a bit of a mess, this, isn't it?" I couldn't help thinking to myself that. Maybe that's how I'd react as well.
Yeah, probably.
Like, fucking hell. You've made a mess. You've ruined my caravan. But a little scene here. Tina gets some knitted underwear ready. It's like the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It's knitted. She's knitted it and it's crotchless.
Yeah.
It's like a little...
You're on about ridiculous plugs. This is a ridiculous garment.
I said to Charlotte, I said, if you ever walked out and you had... knitted underwear on, knitted lingerie, I'd be like, get out of my fucking house, because it's just horrendous, isn't it?
Like, that is the least sexy thing I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
I have negative of an erection now.
Yeah. But Chris, they have a little picnic outside the caravan. Chris basically tells her he's writing a book.
Yeah.
And that he's got writer's block, but that he's found his muse, which is obviously Tina. And this comes back later, but an old guy shows up and he's basically collecting for, you know, where you've parked your caravan.
Yeah, like the site fees, yeah.
And there's some hippies having a festival off in the field, and Chris basically says, you know, like, what are they doing? He's like, oh, you know, they're just
a shaman priest from Portsmouth. A shaman priest gnome coming from Portsmouth.
Chris is like, you know, how long are you going to be here? And he's like, oh, you know, just this evening. And obviously, you can see. I mean, I'd be annoyed.
Yeah,
Chris.
He's like, I've came for a nice, peaceful fucking night, and I'm going to be hearing these fucking hippies drumming constantly.
What's funny is later on, the old man has joined in with the fucking festival.
Yeah,
and you're like, you little cunt. You're fucking just this evening. You're fucking part of it, you little bastard. Give him money back. Did you catch this bit? Because I had to rewind this and me and Charlotte still didn't get it. Chris takes Tina down somewhere and he's like, oh, I brought my first girlfriend down here. And he's like, oh yeah, this is where it is. And she's like, this is the ditch, Chris.
Oh, right. Like, yeah. I didn't really.
Did he mean he shagged his first girlfriend down there?
I would assume so.
Because I didn't get what it was he was saying.
Yeah.
He literally just fucked up with that. And I was like, did he bury her here?
Oh, good. Maybe he did.
This is where they meet up with the stuck-up couple now.
Yeah, they're very, very middle class. Funnily enough, this guy is also in The End of the Fucking World.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I still need to watch that.
Yeah, maybe don't watch season two.
Is it bad?
It's not bad. It's just pointless.
Ah, right.
Like, season one ends so well, and then... it was just the most unnecessary season two I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, but nothing really happens.
Is it the end of it now?
Yeah, they've said there's not going to be a season three. I'm like, well, there shouldn't have been a season two.
Yeah.
Watch season one, by all means.
Yeah, I'll stop it at season one. But Chris asks the stuck-up couple if he can look in there, because he says about the caravan, and he's like, oh, what
well, yeah, he's on, oh, this must be the model, blah, blah, blah. And they're basically just like, I guess. I get the impression that this couple have just bought a nice caravan. They've just went, we've got this much money, we want to buy a caravan. And then like, okay, have this one. And they're like, yeah, fine. And then you've got this fucking guy who's like a fucking... It's like, you know, it's like when, you know, you get like car fanatics and they're like, oh, this is the blah, blah, blah model. And you're just like, yeah, it's a black car.
Yeah. But they look inside their caravan. They're not very happy about them coming in.
No, they're doing it out of politeness.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when somebody asks you something and it's like you don't want to say no, but you can't really think
of a reason.
Why to say no. So you're just like, oh, okay. Because the guy even mentions like, oh, yeah, can you take your shoes off? Because I have just seen you come out of the toilet.
I know, it's like, you fucking cunt. Shut up. Where have you been? I ain't seen where you've came from. So Tina spots their dog in the caravan. Yes. And it resembles her old dog. And then we get flashback of what happened to poor old puppy.
This sprit is fucking brilliant.
Take that.
So yeah, it cuts back and Tina's sitting on the couch with Poppy knitting, and there's a knock at the door, and it's like some charity fucking collection, you know, trying to get like fucking change for whatever.
No, Richard, did you hear what he was raising money for?
I think I did, but
he goes, "Hello, miss, I'm raising money for child soldiers."
Oh, of course he does. Yes, how could I have forgotten? Yeah.
And I missed it. Like, I heard it and missed it. And I was talking to Charlotte and I was like, wait a minute. I was like, did you hear what he just said? I rewinded it. I was like, this guy's ISIS or something.
No, I'm going to assume he's raising money to help. I don't think he's going to be like, I'm trying to build an army. You got some change?
Don't know, mate. I think he was raising money for ISIS.
Is this the prequel to ISIS? Has Tina inadvertently started ISIS? But you're the first person to give us any fucking money.
Sorry. So, yeah. Go on.
Yeah, so she's like, oh, all right, yeah, okay. I'll go fucking find some change. And she's got, like, Poppy with her, and she's, like, playing with a toy. Like, oh, sorry, you know, the dog gets like this sometimes. So she throws the toy into the living room to get rid of the... Well, to get the dog out of the way so she can hand over this fucking change to the guy fucking funding a fucking militia of children. And then the dog just like leaps in to the living room and just falls right on the fucking knitting needle, and you just hear the dog go, and then Tina like looks away into the living room.
The mum's like, ooh! Like,
I always feel fucking awful when I laugh at
I know. Dog. Remember the first time we watched that? We both looked at each other like, oh my God, and then both started pissing ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Hard not to laugh at it.
Yeah. I think this and A Fish Called Wanda are the only times I've ever been able to laugh at
incredible though.
Oh yeah.
If you haven't watched A Fish Called Wanda, go watch it. Go watch that.
Oh, it's generally one of the funniest films I've ever seen.
Fuck off, pigs.
Touch his dick and he's dead.
So, it cuts back. Tina thinks Poppy is in Banjo. She's like, are you in there, Poppy?
Yeah, and she tries to feed her a fucking Seabrook's crisp. And then, like, the fucking, the woman, the wife of the husband, Janice, she basically like fucking leaps at her to like smack the fucking...
We don't feed him junk food. And then
what is it the fucking, what's his name, Ian says? He says it's like cheap crisps are full of horrors. Like, what does that mean? It's like, do you get like special branded crisps, like 100% no horrors? Like, they're £7 a packet, but no fucking horrors in them. I fucking remember it the other day, mate. I opened, like, a fucking pack of Monster Munch, right? Boy, fucking Portal to the Void in it. I was like,
ugh! Yeah, that was close. Oh, I didn't think they took Monster Munch so seriously.
And then, like, Chris, like, purposely knocks off a plate.
Yeah, I was with
like,
him
sort
on this
of one. Get back at them. He's like, oh, no, oh, I'm sorry. I'm really,
I dropped your plate.
Really
I'm
embarrassed,
so embarrassed
now. Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah. Whatever. It's fine. And then, like, they're, like, leaving the caravan, and Tina's like, yeah, she's like, oh, it'll be nice when it gets decorated. And Janice is like, oh, well, we don't really like clutter. And then she's like, oh, no, 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 you wouldn't want clutter. You just want some, like, little statues and vases and cushions. I was like, well, that would be clutter then, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with Janice on this. I was like, no, I don't like clutter either.
No, I don't want a load of shit.
Like, I remember my fucking dad's living room was fucking full of shite.
Yeah.
We had 3 clocks in our living room. 3. Like, when are we ever going to need to tell the time 3 different times? We had Sky. You check the time on that. 3 clocks. 3.
Yeah.
Oh.
I remember your dad's living room, and it was fucking
cluttered. Yeah.
Where did I move? So
why it burnt so easily.
And you had to do it, didn't you? You had to do it. You have to leave, even at the end there. It's like, fuck, when's it coming? When is it coming?
Oh, so, what a horrible, horrible memory.
God. You know, that this moment is quite like this film.
Yeah.
But they come out, and he finds out that the guy is an author.
Yes.
The guy's like, it's his third book, actually.
Yeah, like, and I think this, like, grates on Chris, doesn't he? Because, like, Janice says it in a smug way, like, oh, he's writing a book. And then he's like, oh, well, my third, actually. Because Chris is being nice, like, oh, you want to go for a beer later? And then fucking Ian comes out with, we're planning on doing some serious walking.
Yeah,
like, what is that? Is that just strutting down with, like, a fucking stern look on your face?
Some serious
walking. Like, someone, like, tries to stop and, like, you're right, mate. Oh, please don't interrupt me. This is a serious walk.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell. He looks serious. But, yeah, so they leave. And while they're walking away, Tina's like, I didn't like their caravan.
That was just gold. Yeah. That lost me. So I didn't like their caravan.
Yeah. So it's later on at night, and Tina's watching the festival that's happening. And that's when we see that the old boy is still involved.
Yeah.
And Chris is in the caravan. He's just fucking mulling over the stuck-up couple. And it's that bit where he's like, I'm writing a book. And it's just like going through Chris's head over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. I think he's feeling a bit inadequate, like, this guy's got fucking books. He's got a fucking nicer caravan than me. I'm shit at life.
And then Tina comes out in her knitted underwear, and Chris just straight up pretends to go to sleep. He's like, oh, I'm sleeping. I mean, they are fucking horrendous. They're horrendous.
Yeah, I think I'd pretend to sleep as well, but oh, fuck that.
Yeah, he just rolls over, and she's like, Chris! Oh, man. So in the morning, Chris goes out, finds the guy from the caravan who's walking his dog, and beats him to death with a stone.
With no hesitation, just picks it up and bludgeons the fuck out of him. I mean, he even, like, fucking chases after the dog. I think he was planning on killing the fucking dog as well.
I think he was. It's this bit as well. He runs after the dog, and he runs through the festival, and he smirks because he's running through the festival. Because he's just done what he's done, I think. I think he's like, you know, I'm getting away with this. He just walks away. Tina and Chris have like a little chat about the festival. You know, she's like, oh, you know, what have you got on your face? Like, and he's like, oh, so it's some of that stuff from the festival. And it's not. It's obviously the fucking blood from killing.
Yeah, yeah.
The police break up the festival, and there's a fucking great quote here, because the copper's marching one of the hippies down. And the copper goes to the hippie, like, how many chickens did you have? And he's like, well, I had 12, but I've only got 9 now. And it's like, because they've sacrificed the chickens at the festival.
And then all, like, the hippies are being, like, fucking arrested.
It's like they're up to some weird shit.
Yeah.
So Banjo, the dog, shows up to Tina's to their caravan. And Tina convinces Chris, obviously, to let them take, you know, the dog with him. And they drive out literally past Janice, who's looking for her husband.
The great thing is though, there's a point where Chris looks at the dog and it's like, you say one fucking word. It's like, it's a dog.
Yeah.
Like the dog's going to go to Tina, by the way, he killed my owner, he did. Bludgeoned him with a rock, and then he tried to kill me.
They travel now to somewhere called Blue John Cavern or something. And it's obviously another stop. And Tina asks him about his book. And this is where it comes out that Chris hasn't even started the fucking book. He's basically like, oh, no, I haven't wrote anything. And he's like, you know, when I start something, everyone just shits on me. And then Tina's like, I wouldn't shit on it, Chris. Not unless you ask me to.
Yeah, there's some very odd comments about fucking shit in this. I mean, I'm not pointing fingers, but I feel like the director might have a scat fetish. In the same way that Tarantino likes to put his fetishes in the film, I think this guy has wormed his depravities into this film.
So they go shopping and
yes, they go shopping for like hiking gear. And then Chris is playing like the fucking big spender. He's like, you can get whatever you want as long as it's under a tenner.
Yeah, it's like, you're not giving me much leeway here, mate.
Yeah, because she finds something that she's like, and he's like, how much is this? And it's like 60 quid. And he's like, can't get that.
And then one of the workers at the shop, she basically starts a conversation with them. And she's talking about how some guy fell off jumped off a cliff or something.
Yeah, they're just going on about the accident, aren't they? Yeah.
They asked that they basically mentioned that the dog's missing as well. And Chris goes, oh, he probably committed suicide because dogs tend to do that.
Do they?
Yeah, that's what he says. It's
like, yeah, I remember him saying it, but it's like, I've never heard of a dog committing suicide.
No, what are you talking about?
I don't think they have it in their minds. They're too dumb to know that they can kill themselves.
So Tina goes in and they make a big deal about telling Banjo that his old owners are dead. And she comes out and Chris is like, oh, how did he take it? And then Tina says to Chris, she's like, oh, you don't think that Banjo might have had something to do with it? Like Banjo might have pushed him off. And Chris is like, well, he might have done. He's like, what are you fucking talking about? While they're out, they're out walking the dog and they meet this other couple. This guy comes back a bit later, but the dog owners and they've got a dog. And the dogs meet, and Tina's like making this like romantic thing about it. She's like, oh, it's like, this is like how me and Chris met. It's like, what? Why you're out getting walked on a lead? Like, what are you talking about? She's comparing their relationship to two dogs meeting. They fuck without question. What are you comparing yourself to? Because the old couple that are walking the dog kind of looking at her like, cheers, cool.
Yeah, because they sort of befriend this older couple, don't they? Because there's a bit where Tina goes, like, it's almost like they're stealing the identity of the middle class people, because she says to like the older woman, like, oh, Chris is writing his third book.
Yeah.
Like, well, no, he's not.
He hasn't written his first one. So Chris and Tim have another little shagging session, but he's like fucking, like, violently doing her from behind. And her mum's ringing her while she's back at home pretending to have fallen down the stairs. And it's like, nobody can see you. You could just say you fell down the stairs.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you're faking a fall down the stairs, get into position when they're close. Like, don't get in position, then ring up. But, like, once you hear the car pulling up, oh, better get in position, pretend I've fallen down the stairs.
But she doesn't answer anyway, and the mum just gets up.
Gets up, oh, fuck this, yeah.
And while they're fucking, Banjo comes up and licks Chris's arse.
Yeah, and then he locks him in the car.
This is the point where Tina finds the photos on the camera, doesn't she? Because Chris has got Ian's camera.
Yeah, because while they were shagging, he was, like, taking pictures. And then she's just, like, looking through them back. And she's like, oh, some of these are a bit saucy. And then she just, like, shouts at the top of the voice, this is not my vagina.
But then she has this whole thing where she's like, were you shagging Janice? Were you shagging Ian? Were you shagging both of them, Chris?
Are you gay?
Yeah. Why did you go to a wedding with the three of them, Chris? And then, obviously,
but the great thing is, there's a picture of Ian. And she's like, why is there a picture of Ian? And he's like, oh, no, that's me. Like, no, it isn't. It's like, did you kill Ian?
Yeah, because she finds him. He took a picture of Ian dead for some reason.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he accidentally did it when he was taking the camera. Because just before he killed Ian, Ian was taking a load of pictures. So it was probably, you know, just ready to, and then probably just accidentally hit the button and got some incriminating evidence.
But Tina's like, oh, you can't go around doing that. It's going to ruin the holiday.
Yeah, like it's a little minor scuffle. Like he's stolen a Twix.
But Chris goes out and he meets up with the other dog owner in the pub, the old boy. You know, he kind of like sits with him while Tina's back at home. Because he's kind of gone off in a huff at this point, isn't he? Because Tina like drinks a bottle of wine. And then she starts feeding beans to an animal bin.
Aggressively.
Yeah, like she's like, take your beans. Have your beans.
Again, this was another moment where I lost it. I was just like, what is she doing? And she's not even hitting it most of the time. Like, this thing is just like covered in fucking food.
Chris gets brought home later and he's like fucking really pissed. And Tina's like, oh, I thought you left me. And it's like, he's literally been a couple of hours.
Oh, there was a bit when Ian was in the pub and there was a news report on about Ian. And apparently they ruled it as a suicide due to financial strain.
Really?
Yeah. I thought that was a great little background bit.
Yeah, I missed that. So in the next morning, they're out walking the dog and Tina gets confronted by this guy about the dog shitting. Because he's like, I hope you're going to pick up them feces.
I mean, I get the guy, you know, but he literally didn't give her a chance.
No, he literally...
Like, as soon as the shit came out of his arse, I was like, I do hope you're going to clean up that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, obviously she doesn't have the bags, but if that happened to me, I was like, well, obviously, mate, but you've got to give me a fucking... He's still fucking shitting, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Tina gets a little bit upset. She doesn't really know how to handle it. So she calls Chris over, and he's like, you know, you're ruining the area where you shit, and, you know, you need to pick up your shit, and, you know, why didn't you bring any bags out? And then Chris is like, did he touch you?
Yeah, and he's like, think about it really well. And he was like, yeah, no, she's like, what? Yeah, I think he did.
And he's like, what did he do? And he's like, he tried to put Poppy's balls in his mouth. Like, what? But even the guy's like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't do any of this. Like,
you're just insane. Like, oh my God.
To put Poppy's balls.
The brilliant thing is, though, before like that bit, he's going on about, he's like, oh, I'm gonna if you don't pick that up right now, I'm gonna report you to the National Trust. And then that's when he does the whole like, did he touch you? It's like, yeah, he did. And then fucking Chris again, without hesitation, just like fucking murders him.
He bashes his face into
Yeah, and as he does it, he goes, report that to the National Trust, mate.
I know. Yeah.
And then Tina says something like, oh, you can't, that was a human being. He was a person. You shouldn't have done that. And then this is genuinely like up there in my favourite lines.
Yeah, this is great.
Movie history is like, he's not a person. He's a Daily Mail reader.
Yeah. And she goes, do you reckon he's got any sandwiches?
And yeah, she just starts like eating his fucking packed lunch.
Oh no.
And then he pulls down like his fucking trousers and be like, it will...
I'm throwing them off the scent.
Yeah.
Tina gets Chris. She's like, get your notebook out and write some ideas down.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, look at me. I'm musing.
Yeah, and he like writes the tiniest bit down. He's like, oh, that's a bit much for today. That's enough.
Yeah.
And you're like... Right, anything like that. So then we get like a little montage of kind of like their activities, and they make a wish at a cavern well. And the weird thing that Chris says at this point, you know, he's like, I only all I want is to be feared and respected.
Yeah,
is that to ask? And usually, which is weird, because usually that's the saying is, you know, it's usually better to be respected than feared.
Yeah,
it's usually they usually want both. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Like yeah. He's definitely a fucking psychopath or something, because it's like, how weird is that? That's just strange.
At some point, there's a radio report about the new victim as well, and they're on about how the suspect is like a fucking dangerous sexual predator.
Yeah, and they high five. They're like, "Yes, we got."
Yeah, but that was us.
They have a little, another little montage with Chris writing in his book, and you can just see that he's writing in his book about obviously bashing someone's head in. Chris gives Tina a necklace, and they hear someone kick something into the door, and he goes out and he sees that it's a kid with a football. You can kind of half see that he was going to do something.
Yeah, he's like, "I'm going to fucking kill this guy."
Yeah, but then he sees that there's loads of people around him. And obviously he's like, "Oh fuck, I can't do that." And this is when the weird alien coffin guy shows up.
Martin is his name?
I think so, yeah. But he's got like this prototype tent thing that...
Yeah, it's like a... What's he calls it? The Carapod. It's just like a little attachment for his bike that he's invented. And Tina says it looks like an alien coffin.
It does, to be fair.
Yeah.
I think it does. It resembles what I'd assume. And Chris kind of has like a little fanboy over the tent and the guy, yeah. You know, he's kind of like, "Oh." And he says something, he was like, "I was in plastics." And you're like, "All right, cool." So the guy, he basically says to the guy, he's like, "Oh, can I come back later and we'll have a drink?" And he's like, "Well, I don't really drink, but I'm always up for a smoke." And so they head off and the guy falls in his little coffin thing because he like falls down the hill a little bit, if you remember.
Yeah.
Into his tent. So Tina and Chris have gone to this like pub or something, this restaurant, and there's like a hen night going on, and they're shouting one in the pink and one in the stink. And it's like, "Oh, wonderful. This is a great group of women." And Chris like looks up Tina's skirt or something.
Well, yeah, they sit on the table and then Tina mentions that she's not wearing any pants.
Oh, right.
And then she... In the same way that he knocked the plate off in the caravan, she, quote-unquote, accidentally knocks Chris's fork off the table. And he's like, "Oh, I guess I'll have to go get that." And he sneaks under the table and he's like, "I couldn't see anything." She's like, "Well, I'm wearing tights. So what's the fucking point then?"
But this is when they talk about how it would be romantic to die together.
Yeah,
which definitely comes back.
Yes. Tina starts to like justify all the murder. She's like, "Well, when you think about it, you know, you're helping the environment because you're cutting down all their emissions. So when you think about it, murder is green."
You're like, "What the fuck?"
It's like, this is...
This is the point. He wants Tina to rub bin juice on him.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, I want you to get, you know, the juice that's collected at the end of the bin and just rub it all over me." And you're like, "What are you fucking talking about?"
Fucking weirdo.
So Tina goes to the toilet, and when she comes back, Chris is kissing the bride of the hen night, I guess.
Yeah, the bride-to-be, yeah.
And she loses her shit, doesn't she? She goes, the girl doesn't really care. And she, like, goes over to Chris and treats him like a dog. She's like, "Sit, stay."
And then she storms off to pay the bill. And then what we think is a cop comes in. And then you can see, like, Chris is a bit like, "Oh, shit, is this the end of the fucking line for me?" But it's just a stripper for the hen do.
And the bride-to-be, she goes out for a fag. Tina meets her out. And they're kind of, like, by these, like, railings over... It looks kind of like a cliffside, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's just, like, leaning over, isn't she?
Yeah. And then Tina's like, "Oh, I like your veil." And then just fucking swings her over.
Yeah. And then
breaks her head on the rock.
Yeah. But as the fucking bride's fallen over, she grabs Tina's necklace.
Oh, yeah. Fucking hell. Yeah. I forgot about that. We get a weird, like, vision thing now where there's, like, medieval bits.
Yes. This was very bizarre.
He's dressed up like a fucking medieval peasant or something, and she's dressed up like a queen, I guess.
Yeah, and it's just like all in the woods, and I was like, what?
And then there's a vampire.
Yeah.
And then it's never touched upon again. Chris wakes up when Banjo pisses the bed, which wakes them up. Chris basically tells Tina that they're not going to the pencil museum because he wants to look over the Carapod with Martin, doesn't he? And she tries to get Banjo to come with her by doing like this. She does like this weird voice. She's like, "Come with me." And then like, Banjo doesn't
But like, it's not fucking responding because she keeps calling it fucking Poppy, and Dog's like, my name's fucking Banjo, you crazy bitch.
And then she's just like, well, fuck you then.
Yeah, then storms off and goes to the pencil museum by herself.
And then they're talking, him and Martin are talking. Martin's like, you know, how long have you been with her? And he's like, oh, it's great. You know, the sex life's great. And he's like, oh, he doesn't mind you smoking, does she? And he's like, no, she don't mind me smoking, but she doesn't like me drinking or doing her up the bum.
But it's one of those, like, I didn't ask moments. He was just like, oh, so how long have you known each other? And she's like, yeah, our sex life's great. It's like,
Martin's kind of just like, okay.
And she's like, oh, yeah, doesn't like me doing her up the bum hole. Like, didn't ask. You know what it fucking reminds me of? It reminds me of The Fucking Room. When it's like, so how's your sex life?
Yeah,
like,
exactly,
excuse me?
So Tina goes to the pencil museum herself while Chris does like exercises with Martin.
Yeah, just like in the middle of the fucking road.
Yeah. And Tina buys this like giant pencil. And you know what annoys me?
What?
She goes up to me and it's got a sign on it that says
£24. She's like, how much is that?
Yeah, now I'm like, oh, fuck off. Fuck off. You can see that. Like, just ask for it. So she gets this giant pencil. Martin he pukes at this point. Banjo tries to eat his sick for some reason. Tina tries to write a letter with the big pencil.
Mate.
Like, she's just like,
I lost my shit at this bit.
She was
like, this is one of the funniest things I have ever seen. Because she's like, manhandling it with like both her hands, and it's like, you need to see this pencil because it's even called the Big Scribbler. It's fucking huge, and she's trying to write a fucking note with this massive pencil that's clearly for novelty, not for actually writing. And I'm just like, this is gold.
This movie is a gem, mate. I'm telling you.
Well, she just scrumples up the note because she's like, I can't fucking write this note. Did she buy the Big Scribbler with the intent of writing a note?
Yeah.
It's like, you could have just bought a regular sized pencil.
Yeah, but I think she was like, I need a pencil. That one looks all right.
But she was in a pencil museum. I'm certain they would have had regular sized pencils.
Pretty sure. She's just a fucking nutcase.
Bigger isn't always better.
No, not when you're trying to write a letter. Fuck it. That rhymes as well. Bigger isn't always better, especially when you're trying to write a letter.
We found the tagline for this film.
But she calls her mum and she's basically whining about Chris now, and the mum's loving it. She's like, oh, you know, I told you he'd be like this. And he's like, you know, I've done stuff.
Yeah,
and
she's like, I've done bad things. She's like, sex things. It's like, you didn't let him see you do number two, did you?
Yeah. And she's like, a woman's secret is the only sanctum she's got or some shit. I'm like, what are you fucking doing?
How sheltered are you that the worst thing imaginable you can picture is somebody watching you do a poo?
Yeah. Banjo gets left with Martin at this point. For some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I guess they just like, I don't know. I really don't know why. Tina comes home to Chris, and she basically like comes up to him and she's like, oh, I've been a bad girl. Punish me with your cock. Chris is like, fuck off. Like, get the fuck away from me. So she rolls over and she's just like, well, I'll finish it myself then.
And starts rubbing one out.
And you're like, what?
Could you imagine... A girl uttering the line, you should punish me with your cock.
Your cock, yeah.
Like, excuse me? I don't think I will.
Chris wakes up in the morning and Tina's driving the caravan. And he basically, you know, he tells her, he's like, fucking, what are you doing? You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. Like, pull over the caravan. So she does, right into a runner. She just like, runs him the fuck over. And Chris comes out and he's like, right, I've had enough of this. I can't deal with this. You're out. You're sacked.
Yeah.
And he's like, I need justification. This is murder. This is chaos. And she's like, what the fuck? You've been killing loads of people. And he's like, no, I can't be doing it. He's like, you're a witch.
Yeah, it's like, and when I like, do it, there's purpose to it.
And he's like, I've done more murders since in the last week than I have in the last 6 months since I was made redundant. And she was like, you told me you were laid off or something.
Yeah, it's not the fact that he's murdered people before this that she's annoyed about. It's like, you made redundant?
They hear a radio broadcast now that people are looking for people resembling them. So they
They know that they're full on fucking suspects now.
So they basically stop off the caravan at this. It's a pretty beautiful place, actually, like this, like, weird kind of like
mountainy, cliffy type place. Yeah,
you know, it's kind of that slate. It's kind of that slate kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about cliffs, but
I'd question you if you did. You were like, while we're here, listeners, here's a lecture about the different types of cliffs in the English countryside. But lost me there, mate.
Chris, like, gets out of the caravan, honestly looks over in the distance, and he goes, there she blows, journey's end. And Tina gives him a weird look, and you're kind of like, what the fuck? This is a bit strange. They sit in silence in this, like, hailstorm, and Chris goes to sleep, and Tina looks in his, she looks in his notebook, she finds a little, like, scribble of them together on a bridge. And then, you know, Chris wakes up, and he basically says, you know, oh, where's Martin? You know, he's taken ages. And Martin finally shows up, and they have a drink together. And it seems like Chris has entered into business with him. He's like, the Carapod National.
He's got involved with, like, the fucking business. I think, remember he was on about how he used to be in plastics?
Yeah.
So I think he was just fucking having him on. I don't think he's got a fucking clue about anything. Because there's a bit where Martin's on about, like, oh, yeah, if you can, like, fucking get in, like, contact with those manufacturers. And he's just like, yeah, those manufacturers that I definitely know.
Yeah, you know, there's something off.
Yeah, he's just like a fucking bullshitter.
But Chris goes off, he says, oh, I need to go to the toilet. And Tina's left with Martin.
Yeah, and then, like, Tina starts to, like, fucking flirt with him, doesn't she? She's like, you've got lovely eyebrows. He's like, thanks.
Come on to her because she's trying to get Chris to kill him because she's jealous of Chris spending time with Martin instead of her.
Yeah.
So she's like proper coming on to him. And Martin's like, fair play to him. He's like, no, I'm all right. I'm good, thanks.
I would as well if she was coming on to me like this.
Oh, of course. But I'm saying, like, fair play to Martin. He's not like, Martin is
genuinely. Yeah, go on then. Yeah.
I feel sorry for Martin. He generally just gets fucked up through this film.
I know.
But Chris comes out, and basically, like, Tina starts saying that Chris touched her.
Well, no, she goes like, Martin said some filthy things to me. And Chris is like, go on, you know, what's he said?
He called me a slutty, filthy bitch. And he's like, right. And she's like, yeah. Oh, fucking, you do this.
Yeah, she's like... he said I was a dirty, slutty bitch. And he wanted to fuck me and shit in my mouth and my underwear. And he said he wanted to shit in my hand and make me use it as a brown lipstick.
Of it is, Chris goes, well, it's all right.
He's like, I don't, you know, in theory, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, like, yes, I'm cool to watch Martin shit in your hand while you eat it. I'm telling you, the director of this film's into some fucking weird stuff.
But it's funny because Tina looks at him and she's like, what about in practice, Chris? What about in practice? And they're like, are you going to? What? So,
Martin, do you remember the first time we seen this scene?
Yeah.
We were dead.
How? It was the bit when she was like, with my brown lipstick. Oh my God. Shit in my mouth and my end. Oh my God, what a film. But Martin nopes the fuck out of there, poor guy.
Well, yeah, he's still being so polite, and he's like, oh, you know, I think I'm just going to go get an early night. It's been a long day. I'm going to go back in the carapod. Because, like, nobody will move for him. He's just like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm off there. See you, bye.
And Chris and Tina, they have an argument about, because Tina says Poppy, and Chris is like, you're giving him an identity crisis because you're calling him Poppy, and his name is Banjo. And Tina storms out and goes up to Martin's carapod, takes off the stand, and pushes him off the cliff.
The great thing is, while she's doing all this, you can hear Martin like, what's going on? Who's there? Like, what? And then you just hear him like screaming as he's going down. He's like,
and then just dies. And then fucking she comes in and she's like, well, that solves that problem then. And Chris is like, oh, for fuck's sake. And he runs out.
It's like he just knows and then storms out and then...
And he's like, Martin, trying to like see if he's still alive. Martin's fucked.
Yeah, he's gone.
And he's like, you're a liability. You're just like your fucking mother. And then they fight. And then they
don't they?
Yeah, it's weird. We get a weird scene now because Chris...
Power of Love starts playing and they start fucking torching their caravan.
Yeah. And then they run off and head towards this like big bridge, and obviously you click because it's like, oh, it's the bridge from the Notebook. And they go on the they go into the bridge and they like bark like dogs under there. It's like they're having a great time. And then they go onto the bridge and then they randomly step up onto the edge of the bridge. And Chris like basically says to Tina, he's like, "So you had a nice holiday?" And Tina's like, "Yeah, it was great." And then he goes, 3, 2, 1. And obviously the point is they're going to do a double suicide. They've made a pact. They're going to kill themselves. They want it for murder anyway, so we'll just kill ourselves. Chris jumps and Tina lets him fall. And he just splats on the fucking ground.
Yep.
And Tina's just like, well, you know, I'm not jumping off a bridge. That's not
It's like she looks like, oh, glad I didn't do that.
Yeah, that was a bit far. And then it ends.
Yeah. Film just ends on that.
And you're kind of like, holy fucking shit. Because I genuinely thought they were both going to jump. The first time I watched this, obviously.
Yeah. It's definitely making you seem like they are both just going to fucking...
Yeah.
Because it's calling back to the whole, oh, you know, it'd be really romantic if we died together like Romeo and Juliet.
It was funny because when I was watching it, Charlotte was like, had the same reaction we had when we first watched it. Because obviously she jumped. He jumped. She didn't. And Charlotte was like, oh my God. Yeah. And that's the end.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
That's the end of Sightseers. Great film. Great fucking underrated gem.
Ratings.
You go first.
So, as a film, I'm giving it a 5 out of 5, mate. I thought it was, like, pretty much... I think this film's pretty much perfect. I don't think there's... I genuinely don't... I couldn't find anything that I didn't like about it. Like, at all. Like, it was shot... The cinematography was way too good.
Yes.
For this kind of thing. Some of the scenes are incredibly shot. And it's got, like, you know, obviously it's got a really... I don't know how it's done it, but it's balanced this comedic black comedy, deep, thoughtful, psychological movie. It's balanced them all incredibly
perfectly, yeah.
The acting's incredible. It's, you know, it's pure British humour. But it's done like to perfection. I didn't find anything wrong with it. Like there was nothing I had wrong with this film. It was like, it wasn't too long. It didn't overstay its welcome. You know, the effects for what they are, I know this isn't a horror film, you know, we're not really rating it on the fucking, but the kills were good.
Yeah. Some of they're pretty bloody.
The one where he smashed the guy's head on the rock was awful.
Yeah.
Face was fucking gone. Like there was, and then again, like I said, the storyline is pretty perfect in that, you know, you've got this pretty horrific story about two very unhealthy people getting together. Obviously not the kind of, you know, they've obviously bounced off each other in the wrong way.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, definitely in the wrong way.
You get these hilarious scenes all the way through because it is obviously a comedy, but then at the same time, it is essentially at the same time a character study of these two horribly sick people. And, you know, there's always that kind of tone behind it where it's kind of like you don't, I mean, I wouldn't say there was a point where I really felt sorry for Chris, but you do there's always a little bit in the background where you kind of like, I don't think he's had a very good life either.
Yeah, but
this film's like, it's all in one package in this, like,
well, like in Tina's defense, it's almost like a child. It's like she doesn't know any better. She's been just so sheltered. She's got this horribly abusive mother that's basically just not let her live her life, and she's not really known how to exist in society, whereas, you know, Chris obviously knows that you shouldn't be going around fucking killing people, but Tina doesn't know any better.
And then you've got that, you know, obviously the last shot of the film, you've got that whole, the whole, you know, where it clicks and you're like, oh fuck, I think Tina probably is what Chris was now. Like, she kind of lets Chris go. And, you know, you can kind of see there's that look in her face where she's like, because, I mean, she's obviously killed people herself twice before this. And I think she's got to the point where she's like, well, at the same time, she doesn't need Chris anymore. She's like, she's kind of blossomed in the wrong way. And now she knows what she is. It's a fucking weird film because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then you've got that storyline going through it and you're like, this is horrific. It's a perfect black comedy. If you were ever to say, if you were ever to describe, you know, the term black comedy to someone, I think I'd be like, watch Sightseers, and that's pretty much as good as it gets. Yeah, fun fact, a 5 out of 5 for all the same reasons. Mostly for the comedy, because it's hilarious. The film's like so quotable, it's not funny. It is funny. Yeah, I can't really say much more. It's hilarious. Go watch it, because it needs to be watched by more people. It's not popular enough.
Yeah. No, nowhere near as popular enough.
You know, it's kind of cool when you find a film like that.
Yeah, it's one of those ones.
In the vein of Shaun of the Dead, or that kind of thing, it's very much in the same kind of veins as those.
Yeah, it's just
a bit more deeper. Yeah, your reigns.
Yeah, exact same as you. 5 out of 5. 5 out of 5 for pretty much the exact same reasons you said. It holds up so well. Every time you watch it, it's just as funny.
Films like, and you notice stuff more as well. There's always like, it's definitely, again, in the same vein as Shaun of the Dead. There seems to be always stuff going on in the background. There's something that you see and spot the first time through. There was stuff that like Charlotte spotted that I didn't spot the first time through. It's really rewarding.
It's not just like giggle comedy. It's like I can't breathe because I'm laughing so much comedy.
It's incredible. Go watch it.
Wholeheartedly recommend Sightseers.
Yep, so do I.
Especially if you are into British humour. If you don't like British humour, you probably will watch this and be like, what the hell? But for the people that do like it, it's fucking good.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you don't like British comedy, you're probably not going to like this.
But yeah.
It's very British. Very.
Very, very, very British. Even what they do, it's like, would an American even know what a caravan is? Like, what is it? It's an RV that you don't drive? What?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right. I think that wraps up for this week.
Yeah.
Go check out Sightseers. You won't regret it. Next week, we have got our third installment of Remake Movie Deathmatch.
We do indeed.
A bit of a callback to season one. We're looking at another Wes Craven film. And we are comparing 1972's The Last House on the Left, facing off against 2006's The Last House on the Left.
Indeed.
So tune in next week for that. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
He wasn't a person, he was a Daily Mail reader.